It's time for another edition of Dome and Domer, the only podcast for Notre Dame fans by Notre Dame fans. If you're looking for cogent analysis and unbiased opinions backed by careful reporting, you've come to the wrong place. For the next 20 minutes or so, you'll get a fan's perspective on the Fighting Irish without all the normal spin from the so-called professional analysts. It's Dome and Domer. Now, here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer.
My name is Mike Brammer. Joining me, Ed Jordanic and Mike Coffey from IndyNation.com. So the only prediction I'll make is I'm going to guess that by around 8 o'clock this Saturday night, the three of us are either going to be 13-0 or 12-1 in predicting Notre Dame games this year. But Coffey, I'll start with you, and I'm assuming you're not taking Clemson. But, you know, if you do look at the game and you're looking at the overall picture here, what is it that leads you to believe that Notre Dame could actually beat Clemson?
Well, I don't think it's any surprise to anyone that I would say the line play is what's going to determine this game. I mean, Clemson's main strength is their defensive line, assuming, of course, that Lawrence is going to be able to play at all. But I think Notre Dame's defense is almost definitely the best defense Clemson has faced all year. And if you look at other games in which Clemson has faced decent defenses, they haven't necessarily been able to move the ball as well as you'd think. I mean, they had a difficult time with Texas A&M, and I think that Notre Dame can cause problems for Clemson offensively. I think that their front seven can put pressure on a freshman quarterback, and as much as people talk about how, oh, Clemson's been to four of these games in a row, this quarterback definitely hasn't. So Bright lights, big city, as they say. So I think that if Notre Dame can make Clemson's life difficult on offense, they definitely can win this game. Because I can see Notre Dame being able to score on Clemson. I mean, I know Clemson's defense excellent. I think they'll be excellent even if Lawrence can't play. But Notre Dame's ability to score points is what's going to drive the bus on this game.
Yeah. You know, Ed, I would agree. I mean, I think there's three things in my mind, and I probably would put them in this order. I do think it's the line play is going to determine, you know, whether we find success or not Saturday night. And I don't even know that we need to win that battle. I just think we can't lose the battle and lose it bad. You know, if we can hold them in check and, you know, kind of just keep that a neutral play, then I think it comes down to Book executing the short throws. Because if there is if you're going to point to a weak link, and it's not even a weak link, but it's the weakest of the defensive side of the ball for Clemson, it would be their DBs. I mean, that's not where they're strongest. And so I think it's going to be that. It's going to be the short throws with every now and then a hitch and go and things to keep them honest. But then the last thing, and I think this is a key one, and maybe the biggest thing that we have to do, at least try, is get in that kid's head in the first quarter. I mean, he is a freshman. He hasn't been to the big game, as Coffey said. And so all of a sudden, a little bit of that doubt starts to creep in. And if you can get that early enough, then I think the wheels might come off a little bit. Not totally come off, but just enough for us to get a couple scores in. And then at that point, it's anybody's game.
Yeah,
you agree?
No, I think that makes a lot of sense. You know, I'm kind of curious, you know, when you have a month to set up for a game and these teams self-scout each other, you know, you kind of wonder. I mean, we as fans certainly, you know, kind of outthink ourselves. And you wonder, because it's so clear, you know, all the things you say are correct. And you want, you know, part of me is like, you know, are we going to see Ian Book throw the ball 40, 45 times? And can Notre Dame win if he does that? But at the same token, you know, I think the conventional wisdom is that, and Notre Dame has done a really good job of doing this all year, is committing to the run, sticking with it, even when they're getting 2-3 yards. You know, I think if they can avoid the tackle for loss, you know, if they could get positive yardage, they can, you know, they can bust something here or there. And if they can do that, if they can maintain some balance, I agree. I think that they can, you know, they can put up points on Clemson. You know, going the other way, I'd love to see a little bit of analysis on sort of Clemson and its players in terms of nagging injuries that they had during the year. I mean, one of the things that, you know, gives me some encouragement about Notre Dame is we have a lot of guys, a lot of key players, who've had time to recover and by all accounts are 100% now. I mean, you know, I did not think that Coney's production was all that great the second half of the year. You know, I don't know if that's conditioning, his eating habits, you know, nagging injuries. But I remember how he played in the bowl game last year after a month to prepare and a month to recover, and he was a dynamo. I mean, he had a hell of a game against LSU. And so when you take him, you know, Tranquil obviously is beat up, Kareem is beat up, Book, even, you know, Hainsey, Jafar Armstrong, we've talked a lot about, you know, his coming back. Those are really key productive players. And I'm sure Clemson has, you know, some guys in the same situation. Everybody's nicked up and beat up, you know, by the end of the year. But I fully expect those guys to, I expect Notre Dame to play really well. And, I mean, I want them to win this game so badly that I think I'm going to pick them to lose. And I hope that these guys play for Clemson. You know, the NCAA is just this pathetic, incompetent, awful, you know, ridiculous organization. I mean, these guys, I would not be surprised if it's some hair gel or some crazy thing that showed up in a sliver of their drug test. I mean, let these guys play. This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. You know, they go way overboard on this nonsense. And Clemson's a good program. I think, you know, anybody in the country, including Notre Dame fans, would kill to have a guy like Dabo Swinney running the program. I don't keep close tabs on this stuff, but I don't hear a lot about problems, you know, in their program with, you know, with hooliganism and drug use and crime. Is certainly not like the, you know, not like Urban or Jimbo Fisher or, you know, any of these, you know, Saban. I mean, Saban's, you know, program is relatively, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't want that to color this game at all. And I hope it doesn't. I hope they get to play. You know, Notre Dame recruited all these guys that are going to go in the first or second round for Clemson on the defensive line. I mean, Christian Wilkins, I think, isn't he from like a Connecticut prep school or something? You know, like great grades, terrific kid. You know,
yeah, I think you are. Yeah, I think you're
so
right about that.
I remember
that.
Notre Dame was all over.
We did
him,
have some guys,
you know, and obviously lost out to Clemson. But hopefully, that just kind of death story just kind of dies as quickly as it came up.
Yeah, no, I hear you. It'll be interesting to see how that goes. You know, Coffee, I'm a little curious because Ed touched on something. I do think that I will be a little disappointed if I don't see this on Saturday. But I think he's right about committing to the run. And especially when you got a guy like Dexter Williams. I mean, I really think no matter what, you got to get him the touches that he needs. And I've always said that over-under is 20 for me. You give him 20 carries, he's going to bust one or two of them for sure.
No, absolutely.
And granted, I know Clemson's a totally different defense, but by the same token, that's the kind of defense that it'll happen to because they're so fast and quick up front that all it takes is that one guy to miss him. And he's got the kind of speed to beat those guys in the defensive backfield. So although I think Ed might be right, we might see a lot of throws and a lot of them short throws. I'll be pretty disappointed if all of a sudden we come out and Dexter gets, you know, 8, 9, 10 carries and that's it.
No, I agree.
That'll
I
be
think
disappointing.
Nothing could be worse for Notre Dame's offense for them to become one-dimensional, because if you give the defensive linemen for Clemson the idea that they don't have to worry about the running backs, they can just pin their ears back and just go right at Ian Book, that's just going to make things tougher than it has to be. I mean, as much as excuse me, the coaches might not think that they can necessarily run, they still have to. They still have to keep Williams involved. They still have to keep the defense honest. I'm long on record not being a big fan of pass-first offenses, but there has to be something more to the offense than the pass. Because, as you said, Mike, really aggressive defenses can be subject to over-pursuit. They can, in their effort to really get in there and try to get at Book, a well-executed draw play could pick up a whole bunch of yards because all of a sudden four or five of the guys who are supposed to be tackling Williams are either at his level or behind him, and he's got that. You give him some space to work with, he can really, really make things happen. So I would like to see as balanced an offense as possible, to the extent it's possible. And I really hope they don't try like maybe three or four touches with Dexter Williams and Troy Pride and stuff like that, and then say, "Oh well, gee, I guess we can't do that." I mean, you got Jafar Armstrong, you've got plenty of weapons at the running back position. Don't take the ball. Oh, sorry, and don't take the ball out of their hand. Bring all of your weapons to bear. This could potentially be the last game of the year. So you don't want to walk off this field thinking, "Oh, gee, I should have had this guy do this thing." I mean, now is the time to have them do those things. So
keep it balanced, and
make Dexter Williams get all the benefit you can out of him.
That's right. Exploit it where you can. You know, one of the bright spots, Ed, this year has been the coaching staff by far. I mean, I think it was on display against USC in the second half, and we saw it pretty clearly. I think we're going to actually see it Saturday as well. And that is, you got two guys that have proven themselves, at least this year in my mind, and it's been the first time in a while that I've actually seen like really legit halftime adjustments that made a difference that were visible to even the average sports fan. You know, a lot of times the average fan doesn't pay a lot of attention to this kind of stuff. But, you know, now that these guys are going to have an entire month, it'll be the first time that these two have really, well, second time for Chuck Long, but Clark Lee, I think we're going to see some things that will be visible to us that'll be interesting adjustments that we make, because they're going to have an entire month looking at film. And believe me, it started right after the USC game. I'm sure these guys just went after it. That, I think, is going to be one of the interesting headlines coming out of this game,
yeah,
too.
Chuck Long was a great quarterback at Iowa, too, for a while there. But anyways, yes, I agree with that. But I think that, you know, this isn't a game where you sort of have the luxury of, you know, waiting halftime to make adjustments. I think the real challenge for Lee and for Chip Long are to play to play, understanding what's going on, the flow of the game, what Clemson is trying to do, and making those adjustments, you know, through Ian Book, through Tranquil, on the field in real time. You know, Notre Dame can't afford to be down 17-3 at halftime. You know, Notre Dame can't afford to, you know, this is not Vanderbilt or Ball State, of course. You know, it's not even USC. They can't sort of come out and sort of slow play things, I don't think, and have as good a chance to win as they were able to in some games this year. So while I agree with you that the adjustments were impressive at halftime this year, I don't think that that it's quite the same formula. And, you know, to me, the biggest, you know, you're talking about the quarterback for Clemson. You at least have to hurry him a little bit, I think. You have to sort of make him uncomfortable. To me, it's going to be really interesting to see if, and this has been talked about a lot, but I totally agree with this, if Notre Dame can again sort of play the type of game where, you know, between the 20s, they give up some yards, they give up some 10, 12-yard carries to Etienne. I'm not quite sure I'm saying his name correctly, but he's a hell of a back. But, you know, but
that's okay. It's not like any of us are getting the names correct.
Yeah, I don't think anybody says
it. But you know, but then if you can kind of, you know, get your back up and force some field goals, then I think things, you know, we'll know, you know, I think things will start to look pretty positive. The thing that I worry about, to tell you the truth, is, and the reason I think Notre Dame may come up a little bit short, is the old bugaboo of special teams, I just have a bad feeling, is going to rear its head. I mean, I think it's definitely improved, but I think the best we could say is that it still tends to be inconsistent. And in big spots, Tyler Newsom has had some trouble. I like Fink, you know, returning punts. I feel comfortable there. Maybe I'm saying this stuff because I hope I'm 100% wrong and Claypool makes a big play, you know, on a tackle or return or a strip or something like that. I also think Claypool is a key guy in this game. You know, Mike talked about the sort of the difficulty, if Clemson has any on defense, might be at safeties and corners a little bit. But, you know, Claypool, Boykin, Kmet, Mack, you know, even Wisher and Fink, you know, these big bodies, if Book can put the ball in the right place, you know, and we can get those.
Yeah, they got to get that
those
separation.
7-15-yard gains, you know, because they're sort of, you know, guarding against the big play. The thing is that I think what we have to our advantage is that those guys are especially effective in the red zone. When you have those big bodies, you know, you do the back shoulder throws, you throw the ball way up in the air, you do all kinds of stuff. You have a little bit better chance to score down there, perhaps than a team that doesn't have the big wideouts. And I think that's an advantage too.
Yeah. Coffee, you know, I'm curious what you think about this, but I've been, you know, almost every chance I had starting after the USC game when I left the house, I was wearing a Notre Dame t-shirt. And I got a lot of people coming up to me saying stuff, as you can imagine. And a lot of them are Notre Dame people that are like, hey, go Irish, you know, and all of a sudden you start chatting. Almost the same conversation occurred with every single person, which was, man, we just can't afford to get blown out because we can't be putting up with hearing that for the next year.
Oh, absolutely.
And so I, you know, I'm curious as to why you think it's different this year, because I started out immediately with that conversation, like, hey, look, this is a totally different situation than 2012. I mean, take out the whole fishing situation, but outside of that, what's the main difference, or what's the argument that you respond to that?
Well, it's funny you should bring that up. I was reading an article in the Wall Street Journal this morning that says exactly that. When they're talking about how the 2013 national championship game is still coloring some people's perception of what's going to happen here, partially because
it's coloring Vegas's perception. That's for sure, in my mind.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So I think the big difference this year is the 2012 team had a fantastic defense and a really
pedestrian offense.
Pedestrian offense. I mean, they didn't really bring it on the offensive side. I mean, they did enough to win against the teams they played, and then the minute they went up against a truly top flight defense, the whole thing fell apart. That's not the case this time around. I think they've got they have stronger weapons, they have better players, and I think they're going to have a better game plan. I think Chip Long's a lot more he's a lot better planner than we had last time around. So I think the ability on offense is what can make this game, at worst case scenario, close, and best case scenario, a Notre Dame victory.
Yeah, and I that's exactly what I told them, and that was how the conversation went. It's interesting. I get the Wall Street Journal. I'll be interested to read that this morning, so that'll be cool. But, you know, not to beat a dead horse, but Ed, I think you're right on. I think the only thing that really scares me is the special teams, and it's because it's reared its ugly head several times this year. A couple times where it actually hurt us. You know, that Northwestern game, that game was completely over, and we kind of let them back in and made that game look a lot closer than it was, because it wasn't close at all. I mean, we completely dominated it up until the point of that block punt, and that's the kind of stuff that is hugely deflating for a team, is to give up. I don't think it's going to be on punt return, like you say. My concern is kick coverage and punt coverage, and I think Newsom, you know, he's probably going to shank one. He does all the time. I mean, he'll shank one, but he bombs the next couple.
Right, but
months.
I mean, to me, it depends on when he has his shank, right? You know, like, in other words, when they really need to flip the field. You know, when Clemson has gathered some momentum and Notre Dame goes three and out and is deep, you know, like, that's when he can't afford to kick from his own 5-yard line, and then Clemson starts on Notre Dame's 40. You know, that's when he's got to get one off, you know, and Clemson is starting on their 28. And you know what I mean? Like, that's – and the problem to me anyways that he's had is, the offense sputters and he – You know, kicks one out of the end zone, you know, punts one out of the end zone, and
right.
Or, you know, the offense sputters, you know, the defense, and he from deep in his own territory, he just doesn't get off a good one. Now, I'm not going to pick on him. I mean, he's been solid, but those are the kind of little things, I think, that can swing the outcome of this game. And I guess my one takeaway from this podcast will be that I probably need to start reading the Wall Street Journal. If you see it all over it, I need to be. I'd love to see, you know, like, what I worry about is, a Michael Young fumble on a kickoff return, right? We had one of those this year. You know, I think that he may not even, you know, I could see that be one of the places where there's kind of stealth conservatism on the part of Kelly, right? That he only has Fink and maybe Tony Jones back there for kickoff returns, or I don't know who else, Fink and Jafar, who are pretty good with ball security, really good with ball security. It'll be little things, right? It was certainly little things in that game at Clemson and the Hurricane a few years ago. You know, you could look back at that game. If people don't remember, like, Notre Dame had a pretty crappy first half in that game. Didn't they turn the ball over maybe twice in the first quarter or two?
There was two turnovers.
Yeah,
that's right.
You know, so I do think that there isn't there isn't as much mystique around Clemson maybe as there is with Alabama. I mean, Alabama is sort of in a level of its own, even though Clemson has been very, very successful the last few years. I listened to you guys talk. I'm getting fired up. I'm starting to think, you know, Notre Dame can win, and I got to stick to my guns of picking them to lose if I really want us to have a chance.
All right, why don't you go into that, Ed? Give us your prediction and then why.
I think I've already said the whys. I think, you know, I think there'll be a special team mishap that will cost us. I do think I'm probably going to be wrong. I'm trying to be as wrong as possible. So I think people should take the under. I think maybe
I would agree with that.
I think the defenses,
right,
will play a little bit better than we think. And the offense against the defense will be the chess match that the defensive coordinators tend to win. You know, I'm thinking kind of like a 24-22 game, like a 26-21 game, you know, that Notre Dame just comes up a little bit short. Although, you know, if you really want to have a good time, like, go online and see this sort of retrospective of the of the Chicken Soup Cotton Bowl game down there against Houston. I mean, it is just so well done with, you know, interviews with Chris Haynes and Montana, Vegas Ferguson. I saw it yesterday online, and it's just so cool. Notre Dame has a great history, you know, in Dallas in bowl games. You know, Notre Dame probably has, was kind of synonymous with the Cotton Bowl and Texas, you know, in the 70s and 80s,
right.
You know, 70s and 60s and 70s. It's where Notre Dame kind of first went back to playing in bowl games, you know, after not being in them for almost a half a century. You know, so I like the vibe. I like the fact that we're playing in Dallas. I don't think we'll be overwhelmed by the moment. But I'm thinking that, and again, you know, just remember the reason why I'm doing this. I'll say 25-22 Clemson.
All right, Coffee, what do you think?
Well, I'm not encumbered by the reverse jinxology that
no, you're not.
That Ed
no, you're
so
not.
My pick is a 30-27. ND win. I think Clemson's going to have a lot more trouble scoring points than people think they will. And as I said before, that's the part of this that I don't think Vegas and all them is taking into account. If you're going to favor Clemson by 13, that means you think they're going to score at least that they're going to score more than 24 points. And I don't necessarily think that's a given the way they've played in other games, especially against quality defenses. I think it remains to be seen how Clemson will react, not necessarily having been tested this year. I mean, they played in a weak ACC. They played, they had a game at Texas A&M, but that was a struggle for them. What's going to happen when they're in the third quarter, they're only up a touchdown, and against in an environment where I think there's going to be more Notre Dame fans than there are Clemson fans? I don't know whether it's because Clemson fans are jaded after traveling for four straight years, or they're keeping their powder dry till the championship game or what, but a lot of the online statistics have shown that there are a lot more Notre Dame fans seemingly buying tickets than Clemson fans. So it's probably going to be a hostile environment. It's probably going to be a close game. And how are they necessarily going to how is a freshman quarterback going to react? Is he going to be able to get them to enough points for a Clemson win? I don't think that's going to happen. That's why I think it's going to end up being 30-27. I think Justin Yoon's going to kick a field goal in the last 5 seconds to win it.
All right, you just stole my thunder. So, Coffee, you and I are exactly on the same plane because I had 31-30, but Yoon kicking a field goal to win it. So let's hope that at least the two of us are right. But well, at least we'll have somebody walking out of here 13-0 this season on predicting Notre Dame football. I kind of think the same thing's going to happen. It may not surprise me if you know, maybe we get down 7 and all of a sudden we're starting to sweat bullets that here we go, this is going to get away from us. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think we're better than what people think, and I tend to agree with you. I think 13 points assumes that Clemson's scoring 40. Because I just don't see Notre Dame only putting up 14 points. I mean, that just isn't going to happen. We're going to score some points. It's going to be in that 20 to early, you know, 30 range. And I just don't see Clemson putting 45 on the board on us. I just can't see it. Stranger things have happened. It's college football. We all know what can happen, and especially inside of a game of 60 minutes. But I just kind of feel like this is the moment. And I do think it's going to be a very close game. It's going to go either way there towards the end.
I also think Oklahoma is going to make Alabama sweat a little, if not a lot, before it's
I
all
do
over.
Too. Yeah, I would agree with that. I think a lot of people are underestimating that game too. I think Kyler Murray's a phenomenal athlete, and he's a difference maker.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that game is going to be a lot better than people think. Now, it may be a blowout at the end Bama scores the last three touchdowns. I can see that happening, but I think that game's in doubt at halftime.
I think it could be a lot like playing Army or Navy. You know, you better make your possessions count and turn them into touchdowns, because you could get into a situation where, you know, you're down and you get down because you have one possession that doesn't result in a score, and then suddenly you're just trading scores and you can never get back up. I could see that happening for a while. Probably not for four quarters, but I could see that being pretty interesting.
Into
the second half.
You know, last thing I was going to mention really quick, and we'll go long on this show, I guess, but you know, I mean, obviously the news came out about Wimbush. I don't think that was a big surprise to any of us, but you know, I happened to watch the USC game last night, and or not the USC game, the Florida State game. And, you know, he made some great throws in that game. The problem was he made like three or four throws that he should have never made. And we got lucky on a couple of them where they weren't picked off, but they should have been. And, you know, it's one of those things where, man, if he corrects those mistakes, he's a damn good quarterback and somebody's going to be real happy to take him. I just think it made a lot of sense for him to make this move knowing that he wants one more shot at it because he certainly wasn't going to get it next year.
No, I think you're right. But the other thing, what you're saying, though, is the same thing we've been saying about Brandon Wimbush for the last couple of years. Right?
I know that.
And I do not begrudge him one bit the desire to go someplace where, I mean, he's got one more year to solidify a shot at the NFL. And I think I think he can do that. I think if he finds the right place, right combination of players and coaches and stuff like that, not to say that he didn't necessarily have that here, but he did a lot of great things and won a lot of big games for Notre Dame. I wish him nothing but the best, and I really hope he finds the success he's looking for. I don't view this as being a failure on anyone's part. It's just a case of some things that for whatever reason didn't fully mesh as well as they could, and hopefully he can take that next step in the next stop.
And I think that, you know, that he's preparing like he could be the key to advancing in this playoff this year. You know, it's always just a play away. And I'll tell you what, if I'm Clemson fan, Notre Dame fan, I feel a lot better being Notre Dame fan if Book goes down in the first quarter than I do if Lawrence goes down in the first quarter. So. You know, I kind of feel bad for Brandon, you know, just because when this stuff kind of comes out like the week of the game, when I'm sure he's preparing really hard, it's just kind of it's just the clickbait stuff. It's the same thing with his drug stuff. It's just, you know, they got to report on something and create a little news and, you know, whatever, he will go someplace, he'll be successful. He gave everything he had, to us, and I don't think it's very possible that his story at Notre Dame is not over. So we'll see what happens, and then we'll keep a real close eye on him next year when he goes. But you got to give a guy his shot to be a pro quarterback. You know, he's not ready yet to be a running back or a punt returner or Carlisle Holiday or a wildcat back. You know, you got to give him his chance to become a professional quarterback at some level. So that's the way to do it.
Yep. Yeah, no doubt. All right, good deal. We'll leave it there. You've been listening to Dumb and Dumber, hopefully for not the last time this year, and maybe two more times. An online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Ed Jordanik and Mike Coffey, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.